Good morning, and welcome this morning as we celebrate the Festival of the Reformation service this morning, and again service this afternoon at 3 o'clock. As we begin our service this morning, let us rise this morning for the singing of A Mighty Fortress.
Greetings in our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We welcome you to the Sunday, October 27th, 2024 worship service at Zion Lutheran Church, Lincoln, Illinois. Participating in the production of this broadcast are Ron and Janet Estel and Ken Richard. Our organist is Dora Thompson. The opening hymn is 656, A Mighty Fortress is Our God. Hymn 656 found in the Lutheran Service Book. Josh and Rachel Welker are sponsoring the flowers on the altar and the radio broadcast today to the glory of God in honor of Caleb Welker's third birthday on October 26th and his baptism birthday on November 7th.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father. beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor and miserable sinner, upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble.
Therefore, we will not earth given way, though the mountains be moved in the heart of the sea,
though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling.
There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy nation of the Most High.
God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns.
In rage, the kingdom's heart. His voice, the earth melts.
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress.
Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought the tribulations on the earth.
He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire.
Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted amongst the nations. I will be exalted in the earth.
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. To God on high. Thank you. Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty and gracious Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit on your faithful people, and keep us steadfast in your grace and truth. Protect and deliver us in times of temptation. Defend us against all enemies, and grant to your church your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated. The Old Testament reading for this, the celebration of the Festival of the Reformation, from the book of Revelation, the 14th chapter, beginning at the 6th verse. Then I saw another angel flying directly overhead with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. And he said with a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. And worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Catechetical Review. In regards to the Lord's Prayer, what is the first petition?
Hallowed be thy name.
What does this mean?
God's name is certainly holy in itself, but we pray in this petition that it may be kept holy among us also.
How is God's name kept holy?
God's name is kept holy when the word of God is taught in its truth and purity. And the children of God also lead holy lives according to it. Help us do this, dear Father in heaven. But anyone who teaches or lives contrary to God's word profanes the name of God among us. Protect us from this, Heavenly Father.
The epistle reading from Romans, the 3rd chapter, beginning at the 19th verse. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since to the law comes the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise for the singing of the Alleluia. The Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it you say, you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word of Christ, we confess our Christian faith through the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. Please be seated. At this time, if there are any children who'd like to come forward for a short children's message, they're welcome to do so. Morning, folks. I got some pictures here for you. See if you can tell me what they are. One, I think you pretty much all will know. Second one, probably not because it's older. And a third one, the older kids among you can figure out maybe what it is. So, can you see what that is? Can you tell what that is? And this one goes this way. What do you think that is? Will, what do you think that is? It looks like a castle. It's a castle. You're absolutely right. It is a castle. Billy, what do you think that is? That was the older one. That's a firehouse. For the Rescue Heroes. I found that one. Rescue Heroes Firehouse. And what do you think that one was, gentlemen? Okay, it looks like a toy place, but it's a faraway picture of a fort. It's a fort. It's actually Fort McHenry. I got these pictures of a castle, a big Rescue Heroes, a big, you know, firehouse, and a big fort. Because we sang the hymn this morning, A Mighty Fortress is Our God. So that means, right, that God is a castle, right? Think he's brick and stone up in heaven? No. But what do castles and forts do? What do people in them do? They're protected, right? You'd be safe. Yeah. If you're in a castle, you'd be safe from the enemy, right? And so we open with the hymn this morning. A mighty fortress is our God, a trusty shield and weapon. He helps us free from every need that has now overtaken us. So what are we saying about God? Are we saying that we can trust him to protect us? Yeah. We're saying we can trust God to protect us. just like a castle or just like a fort does, we find our hiding place, our place of safety in God. And He is the one who holds the enemy off. He is the one who protects us. He is the one who keeps us safe from all bad things and all evil things, like the devil and his evil angels. So we are protected by God. So when Martin Luther wrote that hymn, that's what he was thinking of, because in his day, people did retreat to castles. People did use castles as places of protection when enemy armies came. So he looked at that and he said, this is what God is like. When I need my protection, when I need safety, God is even stronger than a castle. God is more sure and certain than a castle, more sure and certain than a fort. God will keep us from all harm and danger. He will protect us from all things. And so when we look upon God, we don't think of God as a brick and stone building, but He has the qualities of what people look for in fortresses: protection, strong, hard to get into. So God protects us, God keeps us safe, God watches over us, God does all these things. And so He did the biggest protection He could through sending His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to protect us and save us from our sins. And that was what Jesus did. He saved us from all of our sins. He saves us from everything that would separate us from God, everything that would keep us from God. And so we thank our God today. We thank God on Reformation Day that He sent Jesus, that we don't have to work to save ourselves. He is the one who does all the saving. He is the one who does all the protecting. He is the one who does all the keeping. He is the one who reaches out of heaven and brings you into His protection, into His safety. He is the one who will bring you at the very last to your heavenly home and to the resurrection. So when we look at God, we see Him as the one who does all things and does all things for us on our behalf. And so this is what today is about. It's about thanking God and remembering that He does all the work for our salvation. He is the one who protects. He is the one who saves. He is the one who keeps. He is the one who rescues. He is the one who does all the work for us and gives it to us, His salvation, His goodness, His love, His mercy, as a free gift to each and every one of us. And for that, we are very thankful. We pray. Dear God, thank You for sending Your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins and to win eternal life for us, to pay the price of sin, to die on the cross and then rise again. We thank You for everything He has done for us on our behalf. And may we praise His holy name and Yours too. In that same Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. While we head back to our parents and families, as we continue our service with the singing of our next hymn. sermon text this morning from today's gospel reading. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, as we've already mentioned, today is the observance of the Festival of the Reformation. And today we recall a time that most of us would be unable to wrap our heads around, a time when the truth of God's good news in Jesus Christ was clouded and obscured by a teaching of works righteousness. It was a time of a horrible commingling of God's law and God's gospel. Now remember what the gospel does. The gospel shows our Savior. The law shows our sin. You should recall the law of God summed up in the Ten Commandments has three uses. And what are those three uses? Curb, mirror, and rule or guide. Curb, mirror, rule. What does the curb do? The curb stops violent outbursts of sin. To the person who might feel like murdering someone, the law steps in with its threats and its threats, thou shalt not do murder, or maybe as some of you had learned, thou shalt not kill. The law and its threats of punishment stop the violent outburst of sin. They tell us what we are to do and not to do. The law is a mirror. What does it do? It shows us our own sin, and it shows us our need for a Savior. And the third use of the law gives the Christian the guide, or the guide to live by, a rule of behavior, so to speak, to use in interpersonal actions. All these three uses are what we would call good, right, and salutary. As St. Paul writes in Romans chapter 3, now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. But it's the second use of the law that we want to focus on right now. The second use, the use of God's law as a mirror that leads poor, miserable sinners to repentance and to seek God's grace and the gospel and the right use of the sacraments. The law points out the sinner's completely lost condition, forcing us to confess that our righteousness must not come from inside of us or from something that we ourselves do, but our righteousness comes from the outside of us. Namely, our righteousness comes from God Himself through Jesus Christ, as it is written in Galatians 3. The law has been our guardian so that we would come to Christ and be justified by faith. Now, the law has no power to save us. Salvation comes only through Jesus Christ alone. To mingle law and gospel together is to make the good news of Jesus' vicarious suffering and death on the cross not good news. That's what that would do. To mix those two together, law and gospel, would be making the good news undone. It would be making it not good news. It would leave a Christian, you, horribly uncertain as to whether or not you are really completely saved or not, as opposed to the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ that tells us to hold out your sack, so to speak, and receive as a gift the free salvation won by Jesus Christ on the cross, the free gift of salvation given to you. The gospel, the good news of the free gift of salvation, is the legacy that the Reformation has left to us. And the gospel is delivered to us in the word of Christ. Christians are to adhere to the words of Jesus Christ, the words he left to us. And in his word, we find Jesus, the God-man, who is revealed to us in the revelation of Jesus Christ. What do we find? We find our true liberty, as he himself said. In Christ there is deliverance from sin, and only those are truly free who have received the free gift of salvation through the person and the work of Jesus Christ. And only in Christ, motivated by faith in Christ and through the gifts that he has given us, Are we able to do good works that are pleasing in the sight of God in heaven? Now, some who hear Jesus' words resent this. They have pride in their hearts that gets in the way. In fact, the pride of the human heart has driven many persons away from Christ and from His church to which He has professed allegiance. Why? Because He has been put off by the plain talk of the depravity of the human heart. I mean, that's not something we want to hear. That's not something we love to hear and relish and cherish, that we are all poor, miserable sinners, that there's nothing we can do to save ourselves, that we are dependent wholly and solely and only on God for our salvation. Like, we don't want to hear that. We want to be able to do things on our own. We want to be able to earn Christ, earn salvation. Do it. You know how it goes. We don't like to feel helpless. We don't like to feel weak. How many of you have said, look, I don't want to be a burden on my kids. I don't want to be a burden to anybody else. I don't need to be helped. I can do it all on my own. And we carry that sometimes into our spiritual lives. We carry that over into our spiritual lives and mistakenly sometimes say, but I don't want to be a burden to God. I can do this all on my own. And God is saying, no, no, you cannot do it on your own. I am the one who works salvation for you. I am the one who has sent my Son to win salvation for you upon the cross, to gain for you everlasting life and righteousness. Right? So what does Jesus say? Jesus says of the one who would be His disciple, right? The disciple, the one who is rooted firmly and only in Jesus' word. Right? What does He say? He says, as St. Paul writes to the Corinthians, stand firm, my fellow Christians, and let nothing move you. Always keep on doing great work for the Lord, since you know that in the Lord your hard work isn't wasted. So what is the work of the Lord? What is it that the Christian is supposed to do? It is to remain steadfast in Jesus' teaching and doctrine. Acts chapter 2 states, they were loyal to what the apostles taught in fellowship and the breaking of the bread. And in Hebrews chapter 3, we share in Christ if only we keep our first confidence unshakable to the end. And in 1 John chapter 2, we are admonished, now children, live in Christ. To remain in Christ and His word is to be a disciple and is to know Jesus Himself. And to know Jesus is to know the truth and the freedom that the truth brings to you. As Jesus prayed to the Father, I have given them your word. Your word is truth. Sanctify them in the truth. Truth is that which resides with God. Regardless if people know it, doesn't matter if people understand it or give their assent to it, it's true regardless of what a person thinks. Jesus is pointing to Himself, He who is in His person, the embodiment of all the saving realities of God. Jesus is the liberator of the soul. He is the restorer of God's fallen creation. Sin would have enslaved us. It would have held us in bondage and chains, seeking to bind us under its power, which is full of spiritual lies, spiritual falsehoods, and spiritual deceptions. Jesus came that we would be free from such tyranny and bondage, and that we would be given the liberty of the children of God. Where did this reconciliation take effect? It took effect in the blood and person and work of Jesus Christ, the only true Son of the living God. We are reconciled to God not by our merits, not by our works, not by our doings, but by Christ's blood, by His cross, where He made the payment and earned reconciliation for all who trust in Him. In the Messiah's work, God the Father shows that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by His grace that comes through Jesus Christ. In this way, God shows both His grace and His justice. His justice in that the debt of sin had to be paid, and His grace in that the work of Jesus is credited to the individual who trusts in Jesus' work on their behalf. Jesus did all the work. You get His work credited to you as a free gift. There it is, right there in the nutshell. You couldn't save yourself. God sent His Son to save you. His Son willingly laid down His life upon the cross, gave it up, shed His blood, so that your sins would be paid for and you would have life everlasting. The good news of Jesus is that He, the Son of the only true and living God, has secured your salvation. Your salvation is given to you as a free gift of God. Why? Purely because He loves you. Free, unmerited grace of God given to you out of love. Love for a creation that was fallen, but love nonetheless. And I'm going to ask you to do something today. I'm going to ask you this. Don't doubt the gift. There's so many powers out there, spiritual powers that are working on you to doubt that you are saved, to doubt that God loves you, to doubt that God cares for you. But it's not true. You have been redeemed. You have been bought back and won through the blood of Jesus Christ. Your sins are forgiven. And the only true and living God cares deeply for you and for your salvation. Don't doubt the gift. Don't turn away from the gift. Don't seek to earn your way to eternal life. It's yours. It's free. It's a gift to you. Simply lay hold of the gift. Cling to Christ and His word, thanking, praising, serving, and obey Him. And in that Jesus' name, amen. And now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and your minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us now all rise for the singing of the offertory.
You've been sharing in the Sunday morning worship at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street in Lincoln, Illinois, where you have just heard Reverend Mark Thompson deliver the message for this morning. If you cannot be physically present, join us every Sunday morning on the radio at 8 o'clock over WLLM 1370 AM and WLLM 105.3 FM or at www.zlclinc.com, where you will find links to the internet stream and to Facebook Live. Zion is a member congregation of the Worldwide Fellowship of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you're without a church home, we invite you to become a part of the Zion family. If we may assist you in any way, please call us at 732-3946 or write to us at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street, Lincoln, Illinois, 62656. Zion also offers a member premier education with a Christian worldwide view for children from age 3 through the 8th grade at Zion Lutheran School. For more information concerning our school, please contact our principal, Dr. Stephen Perry, at 732-3977. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Please rise for our prayers. Gracious God, you have given to us the truth of your law and your gospel. Grant to us that we would ever distinguish them rightly, so that by your grace we would never seek to earn our salvation, but turn to you, our God, for grace in your Son, Jesus Christ. May we never lose the precious Reformation truth, but ever proclaim free remission of sins unto eternal life in our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy. God of all grace and mercy, we ask you to hear our prayers for all those in our midst who are suffering from their mortal frailties. Thank you that Linda Aper's surgery has been completed, and we ask that the surgery may relieve the pain that she is experiencing. We pray for Kinley Ray as she prepares for surgery. We ask you to send your angels to attend both to Kinley and her family. Grant unto Kinley successful surgery and give increasing strength to her body. We also ask you to be with Kevin Ray as he seeks continued strength for his mortal frame. And we pray that you will shadow Will Boos and his family with your grace. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, the world is in great turmoil, and wars and battles rage across the planet. We pray you to rescue us from man's own inhumanity to man, and to still the wars and the battle sound. Yet even as there are wars, there are those who move to protect us and our nation. We ask you to be with the families separated by deployments. Keep deployed service members safe from harm, and guard and shield the family members on the home front, protecting them from danger, so that all their homecomings may be joyful. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, giver of life and days, receive the thanksgiving of Carl Awe and his family as Carl celebrates this week the milestone of 80 years of life. We thank you for the blessings of life and salvation, family and friends that you have bestowed upon Carl, and we anticipate more blessings yet to come. Lord, in your mercy. Dear Father in heaven, watch over and guard our congregation, to the end that we dwell together in fraternal peace and brotherly love. Keep the devil and his snares far from us, so that we may focus on the truth of your word, to the end that we continue to proclaim the gospel to the salvation of many. All this we pray in Christ's holy name. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them. Read, mark, learn, and take them to heart, that by the patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and grant thee his peace.
Closing hymn is the hymn number 658, Preserve Your Word, O Savior, hymn number 658 in the Lutheran Service Book.
be seated. Just a few things to point out this morning is that the junior high and senior high members of the youth group, junior high, senior high members of our congregation will be meeting between 9 and 9:30 down in the Sunday school opening room. Is that correct, Mrs. Meyer? They're putting cards together, fall cards, to send to our shut-in members. So that is part and parcel of their service project for this month that the youth of our congregation are working on. Please remember that this afternoon at 3 o'clock is the circuit-wide Reformation service to be hosted here at the church. If you look, I think on page 14, I believe it is, of the bulletin, all the offerings will be going to Nathan and Sarah Federowitz and their, as missionaries. So the offerings collected this afternoon will go to the Federowitzes. If you write a check to that, there's a note on here to whom to write the check to. And the Lutheran Bible translators within the memo line, Nathan and N.S. Federowitz. There. So we want to be able to send all those funds with them when they walk out the door this evening and not have to kind of run it through our bank and cash a check and write them another check and then do that. So if you could make checks out to as it's designated in the bulletin. And Marcia, I see you standing there. Do you have something? If you would, please step up to the lectern.
Good morning, everyone. Just a brief announcement. I think everybody has their bulletin in the Zion's Life. There was a very nice announcement about the Veterans Luncheon in 2 weeks. And I just want to encourage, that's for everybody. It's just not for our veterans. We want the whole congregation there, all ages, to honor those that have served. I do have a little sign-up sheet back in the back here for those of you. A lot of times we get people wanting to donate desserts, which we're more than happy to accept. And then also we could use some ground beef if anybody really wants to make a donation. So that's really all I have. I just, like I said, I want to encourage everybody to come. if you bring anything or not, hopefully you'll be there. And I'm going to see you this afternoon again, too. Thank you.
And do you need anybody to say, my so-and-so's a veteran or I am a veteran?
I put that information in the Zion's Light. We're really trying to get totally inclusive this year of all our veterans because I know in the past sometimes names get left off the list. So if you know somebody that you think we're not aware of, we're going through the anniversary booklet that's had a list of all the veterans. We're trying to match that up with everybody that we know, plus the ones who have enlisted since that's been out. So if you feel like we're missing somebody, just write it on the sheet out here if you want to, or put it on the back. If not, there's some numbers there to call Debbie Taylor. You can contact her by text or phone call, or her email is there as well.
Thank you, Marcia. And also, please remember, following the service this afternoon, there is a meal with each of the churches of the circuit bringing a piece of the meal. So there's quite a meal following the circuit Reformation service this afternoon. And may the Lord bless all of you. May he bless your comings in and your goings out from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.